Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. The situation in Ferguson following the shooting death of Michael Brown raised public awareness of what many have called the unfair and predatory fees and fines imposed by municipal courts in Ferguson. The practice is not limited to Ferguson. New national research is following up and finding widespread examples. What are the findings so far? University of Missouri St. Louis criminologist Professor Beth Huebner is among researchers at 9 U.S. universities studying this issue and its impact on the criminal justice system. Beth Huebner joins me in studio. Great to see you again, Beth. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
You know, it seems to me that this issue has been gone over again and again, and here we have another study. Why is it necessary to do yet another study on this?
Oh, great question. I think there was a lot of research about Ferguson right after it happened, which I think was excellent. But we received funding from the Arnold Foundation to expand this study and all of the studies to 9 different states because we knew what was happening in Missouri, but we didn't know how it compared to what was going on in other states. So we thought it was important to understand, are the laws similar? Are there best practices we can learn from other states? And that was one idea. But the other focus of the study was to learn more what was going on within Missouri itself. We know a lot about Ferguson. We do not know much about the rest of the state. So what's happening in Cape Girardeau? What can we do to help citizens there? What are their experiences? How about rural Sedalia? So that's one of our focus of our project, is to look at just within Missouri and then to compare that to other states.
Now, my understanding is this is a study over 3 years. Is that correct?
It's actually 5 years.
Five years.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's a long-term study.
And you've just finished year number one.
Mm-hmm.
In very general terms, and then we can get more specific, you know, what have you been finding about Missouri in particular?
Well, we found a lot about Missouri, much which has been documented in the Ferguson report, but we have found that fines and fees are routinely imposed all over the state. Just in St. Louis region alone, we had, 10,000 failure to appear warrants. So there's just a large amount of contact with the criminal justice system. So that's something that we know that unlike, probation or imprisonment, which we discuss quite often, we know that 26 million people had traffic stops in the United States last year. So this affects most of us. So I think that's what we have found, is that fines and fees and restitution affect many of us. We also have found that fines and fees and monetary sanctions have longer term effects in terms of losing your driver's license. Again, those failure to appear warrants or other collection costs.
People can lose a lot more than a driver's license.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are losing jobs as a result of this.
Absolutely.
So there is an economic impact that goes mm-hmm. far beyond just what mm-hmm. Money is being raised.
Right. So if you have a failure to appear warrant, maybe because you didn't know when court was going to be held or you didn't have the money, then you would go to jail, and even just one day in jail can have someone lose their job. So there's a lot of impacts as far as economics.
Hasn't the legislature, though, taken steps to correct this? I think of Senate Bill mm-hmm. 5, which capped the amount of revenue that can be raised.
Right, yeah. Senate Bill 5 is an important first step, and we have seen the number of fines and fees, I should say the amounts of fines and fees, go down for municipal offenses in the state of Missouri. But a lot of people have old warrants. That's one issue. But then, even a fine and fee of $20 can still have an impact for a person, particularly just on the way here. I drove through about 10 different municipalities, and if you get stopped in multiple places, those can add up. And I should say that one thing that hasn't been discussed is that the fines for state-level offenses actually went up starting January 1. So your fines for assault or burglary and things like that have actually gone up.
You're probably aware of the fact that there is an effort underway in the Missouri legislature now to repeal Senate Bill 5.
Absolutely, yes.
That mm-hmm. would not bode well for the kinds of things that we're talking about here.
It probably wouldn't. It's hard to tell. I mean, a lot of people around the state understand or are starting to learn about the challenges that their constituents face. So there might be some pushback. That could make it a large change in the way citizens interact with the criminal justice system.
We are one of 9 states mm-hmm. that are being studied. What are some of those other states? Are they comparable to Missouri in size and demographics and that sort of thing?
Well, there's a lot of variation, just like across the United States. So we have Washington, Minnesota, Georgia, New York, Texas, California, Illinois, and North Carolina are all the states that are studying. We have some states like Minnesota, very, very low incarceration rates, very low fines. So you kind of can learn from them what some of the best practices are. On the other side of the coin, we have California, which has some of the highest fines in the nation. And I should say that, you know, Ferguson was called out for a lot of reasons, which are very valid. But Missouri's fines and fees aren't that different from a lot of other states. We're actually kind of in the middle with the amounts of fines and fees that we charge.
Where these happen the most, or where these fines seem to be, as is called, predatory and unfair, there's a particular demographic profile to where this is happening, isn't there?
Well, and yes and no. So like I said, 26 million traffic stops. So we could all be affected by fines and fees. But what we find is that particularly young men of color in the inner city and in the county are more likely to get these fines and fees. Part of the challenge is if you have a fine and fee and you're not able to pay it, or again, you don't know how to get to court, or you're not sure how this all works, then that is when the extra fines and fees and collection costs can be triggered.
What I was getting at is that certain zip codes have a bigger problem with this than others. Ladue probably doesn't have the same problem as a Ferguson, for instance.
No, I mean, for many citizens that are listening today, if you get a fine or a fee or a traffic ticket today, even something a little bit more than that, you have a family or you yourself can bail yourself out and pay that fine. Perhaps you can work with an attorney that can get those points reduced. All of those things cost a lot of money. And so if you don't have the means or don't have the transportation to get to court or to get to the driver's license office, all of those can add up quite quickly.
We tend to think of this being a problem primarily in urban areas. Mm-hmm. But I know that your study has indicated that that's not the case.
No, we see similar challenges in places. I've been to a lot of different places in the state, but, you know, just to give Sedalia as an example or Cape Girardeau, this is not just an urban young African-American problem. We see these challenges across the state. And what's unique about our study is that we find variation within cities, but for example, some of the fines and fees are different in Cape Girardeau or Sedalia than they are here. Just to give an example, there are fines for not taking down a yard sale sign in some of these communities. Again, doesn't seem like a big deal, but that can add up as well.
Is this primarily an issue because these municipalities are using this as a revenue source?
That's a great question. I think that that is a large issue, that we need revenue from the criminal justice system, and funds in Missouri are declining like they are a lot of places. So that is one revenue generation. One of it is we want to punish people, and money's an easy way to punish people. We haven't really explored other ways. And so the fine and fee is just something that is just kind of a first response to criminal activity.
You're probably also aware that State Auditor Nicole Galloway, within the last couple of days, has come out with a report saying that the Ferguson City Court charged people $26,000 in illegal fees. And, oh, by the way, $1,500 in cash is missing from the till.
Mm-hmm.
So what is this telling us?
I mean, that was a scathing report, right? And it shows how hard it is to change. You know, we obviously had the Ferguson report, and we still see some of those challenges. Mm-hmm. I think, most municipal courts are trying to do their best. The challenge is that they don't have a lot of funding or a lot of staff or training. And so I think it's going to be important to continue to support clerks and the people working in those courts to make sure that they're following the law. They know what the law is. SB 5 is very complicated, so we can make these reforms. But that's going to be a really long-term effort.
What can you tell us about Illinois? I know that your focus has been Missouri, but you probably have some understanding what's going on over there.
Actually, one of my colleagues is working in Illinois, so we have aspects of our report that do address Illinois, but we find very similar findings in Illinois as we do with Missouri. you know, they have a lot of municipal fines and fees for smaller activities, just like crossing the street, which can be used in a discretionary way to disproportionately fine and fee people. So we see a lot of the same patterns in Illinois. And obviously we have, Illinois has facing a lot of economic challenges as well.
You've been in your business for a few years now. Mm-hmm. What have you found during the first year of your study that that surprised you?
That's a great question. I have really enjoyed going across the street and across the state and hearing people's stories. I think a couple of things, just how fines and fees themselves are very important, but it's important to understand that they're layered on other sort of economic sanctions that or challenges that people have. So a lot of individuals in rural communities are in urban communities are struggling with transportation. They're struggling with healthcare, with other consumer debt. So just the depth of poverty and debt that people have in the state of Missouri has been striking. And just the lack of information on how to pay fines and fees. In my class, I have students try to go through the system and get their driver's license back. It's extremely complicated. So I think that's one issue that has come to light.
You know, a lot of people were this subject has come up a lot on this program. A lot of people were surprised when things of the kind that we're talking about here surfaced following the Michael Brown shooting. And yet the people who live in those communities weren't surprised at all because this has been going on for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
How far back does it go?
I mean, fines and fees have been part of the criminal justice system since the beginning. You know, I think that's sort of the challenge in really rethinking our paradigm and how we punish people is, well, a fine is very simple. One thing that we've been talking about in Europe is that they use day fines.
What is a day fine?
So they look at how much you pay, and then you pay in relationship to what you earn.
Huh?
Yeah. I mean, that's one thing that's in all of the criminal justice statutes is that we have to assess people on their ability to pay, but we don't do that right now.
Yeah. Is there any effort that you're hearing of to do that, to change the system that way?
Oh, that's part of SB 5 is to have some sort of system on ability to pay. I know the people in there's a number of groups, including the Office of State Courts Administrators in Jeff City, that are working on that. Part of the challenge is that they don't know how to measure it. I was just at a conference in one state, Massachusetts, is looking at if you can show the judge your SNAP card that you do get, you know, subsidized benefits that way. Mm-hmm. That would be at least one easy way for the judge. The problem is that our data systems don't always talk, so we don't really know how to assess people's ability to pay.
It sounds like there's a lot of work really necessary to get this in sync. And of course, all states are different. Well, counties are different.
Counties, cities, municipalities, that's the challenge, is that there's so much variation across the state.
Has to be corrected, right?
Yes.
Okay. We're talking with Beth Huebner, professor of criminology at the University of Missouri-St. Louis, talking about the fines and fees system here and elsewhere. There's been a study that has been launched, completed 1 year, 4 years to go on this study. We'll come back and talk more about it. If you'd like to become a part of this conversation, if you have experience with the system we're talking about, we would love to hear about it. Give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. Send us an email to talk@stlpublicradio.org. Or if you would prefer to send a tweet, do so at STL on air. Back with Beth Huebner in a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Back to Beth Huebner. Well, we just heard that headline there, Beth. Mm-hmm. You're familiar with what's going on in St. Louis County. What's your take on all of this?
So there's a new municipal court reminder system, and I think this is a good idea overall. One of the challenges that we see is that clients don't know when their court date is going to be. Perhaps you lose your ticket or the court date's changed. So this would be one way to remind people about how to get to court. What are the hours? What are the dress codes? Can they pay with a credit card instead of going to the court? So I think that's a good idea. There's actually a lot of research to suggest that court reminders can help. Part of this failure to appear warrant issue that I raised. As the challengers have discussed, it doesn't address some of the essential challenges with the municipal courts that we have in St. Louis. But I do think it's a good step in giving citizens some better information about their rights.
That's just one part of the puzzle then.
Just one part, absolutely. There's going to need to be a lot more reforms, but it does help in the short term.
You mentioned on a couple of occasions that you've done a lot of traveling across the state. Mm-hmm. Essentially, how is your research being done? Is it basically interviews, or are you examining documents, or all of the above?
All of the above. So The first phase was just to do a legal review and to talk about, look through all of the state codes and federal codes and to talk about all of the different ways that you can be fined in the state of Missouri and across the U.S. So that was the first phase. The second phase is that we're doing client interviews, again, all over Missouri with people who have involvement in the criminal justice system to understand their experiences and their needs in terms of reforms. Our ultimate goal is to suggest reforms. So it's important to get the voice of people who are involved in the criminal justice system or, you know, in general. We're also getting official data to talk about, you know, where do fines and fees come from? How much are we collecting? Any information about who gets the fines and fees as well. So those are kind of the main phases of our project.
Mm-hmm. More questions ahead, but let's bring in Lori calling from St. Charles. She wants to get into our conversation. Let's bring her in. Go ahead, Lori. Hello.
Yes, hello.
Yes,
hello.
Go ahead.
I guess I need to further understand why we feel that we need to prorate the fines according to income, because it seems to me that the offense, whatever it is the offense, no matter who you are or what your income is. And why can't we levy a mean average fine across the board?
Thanks for the call, Lori.
I mean, that's a great question. I think the thought is that some people don't have the ability to pay, maybe because of a disability or things like that. So the goal is not to punish people any further if they aren't able to pay or to give some sort of alternative like community service. But, I mean, you make an interesting point that we could just average the fines or reduce them for everybody else. But that, you know, that is part of the discussion is it fair to citizens to waive some people's fines and not others? And we argue usually for the greater good, if you're not able to pay and you get put in jail, that's not the best outcome for everybody as well. So it's the challenge of finding the middle ground.
I think that's really at the crux of Lori's question, mm-hmm. is the fairness issue. Mm-hmm. You hear it a lot. We've heard it a lot since the Ferguson troubles.
Right.
You know, why can't the people who are breaking the law, if you will, why shouldn't they suffer the same way mm-hmm. anyone who commits the same crime should?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important in that discussion, and that's why it's challenging to do reforms in these areas because we understand that people commit crimes, they should be punished, but we also have to understand that different people have different exposure to the criminal justice system. There's a lot of discretion. Judges waive fines all the time. Police decide not to pull people over or let people go and other people not. So unfortunately, you know, there's lots of discretion and the fairness issue is very hard to quantify because there's so many different ways you can be involved in the system.
One of the things that I think most people don't realize is that it's fairly expensive to put someone away in jail.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that you might be robbing Peter to pay Paul in this sort of thing.
Right. I think that's an important point. And there's a lot of statistics out there that, you know, it often costs more money to keep somebody. And it does. It costs more money to keep someone in jail, you know, awaiting trial or for a failure to appear warrant than it would be to treat them or to provide some services. So we do often kind of work counterintuitively just because of our need to punish. So perhaps if we could waive some people's fines or have alternatives like community service, then we could keep people out of jail, which is extremely expensive.
Is this an area that you and your group will be getting into over the next 4 years, going beyond the fines and fees and getting into some of the other issues
Sure.
confronting the justice
Yes,
system?
Yes, absolutely. So and when we talk about monetary sanctions, that includes things like bail. Who can bail out? How much does a public defender cost? Public defenders aren't always free. Mm-hmm. These are all charges that people have. It's part of this larger understanding of just criminal justice debt and how this affects their lives. And are there simple ways that people can pay these debts or be punished in a way that's useful to citizens, so we understand some deterrence factor as well as helping the larger good of keeping people safe.
One of the things that I've – this is somewhat a digression somewhat from what we're talking about here. Things that I've heard that have been disquieting is the fact that in places like St. Louis, they're putting juvenile offenders away and oftentimes in solitary confinement when that young brain is still being developed, and that can just be a horrific – having a horrific impact on kids.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, we know that youth brains develop until at least 25. And so a lot of behaviors we don't always understand, but they're sometimes appropriate for adolescents. You know, driving too fast, wanting to show off to your friends. All of those things are kind of part of adolescence. And we've criminalized so many behaviors that we wouldn't in the past. Before, you know, you would know the officer down the street and he would call your parents or just let you go. That doesn't happen anymore. And so, you know, by broadening the scope of the criminal justice system, we have negative effects. Like, you know, youths are not well served in the correctional system unless it's absolutely necessary.
Let's go back to the phones. We'll bring in Kay calling from St. Louis. Kay, thanks for being with us. Go ahead. Kay?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead, please.
I just had a clarification question about the first caller. If fines are, my understanding that if a fine is prorated or that it's a percentage of your income, then that would actually be fair because everybody is paying a relative percentage of the fine versus if you just, you know, don't charge some people and charge other people, then it's unequal. I'll take my answer off the air. I'm just wondering if I'm understanding it correctly.
Yeah, I was mentioning the idea of day fines, which are used very often overseas, and we have experimented with in the U.S., not with much luck so far. But a day fine would be prorated based on what you earn. Right now, everyone pays the same fine and fee. So,
you know, a $10 fine for one person might be the same as a $100 fine for another.
Sure.
Equally mm-hmm. hard to manage. Okay, another call. Kelly in St. Louis, it's your turn. Go ahead.
Yes, I was calling in on the issue of fairness as well. I just feel like, you know, the idea that life is going to be fair in the first place is misguided at best. You know, most people don't start out with a fair shake. We don't start on the same footing. And I think people who are well off enough that they can pay more in a fine should just be happy that they're comfortable enough that they can be assessed a higher fine. And not worry about whether poor people are suffering enough for their mistakes.
Kelly, thank you.
I mean, I think you raise an important point. I mean, we start from different places. We know that oftentimes, you know, children in poverty are more likely to be involved in the criminal justice system, have less access to education, less access to health care. All of these add up. And that's what I'm seeing in the field is that it's not just the finer fee. It's the layering of all of these aspects of poverty. So, and as Don mentioned, are we charging a fee and that leads to eventual jail or correctional supervision, and that can have long-term costs as well.
You indicated earlier that you and your associates doing this work will come up with a series of recommendations. That's 4 years away. Have you had any ideas yet that specific recommendations that would be made sooner rather than later?
Oh, absolutely. And we will continue doing outreach like this and to our local stakeholders and things like that. I mean, I do think, you know, assessment of ability to pay, that's part of SB 5. That's part of the law. Are there ways that we can bring the information that we learn as scholars or at conferences to local agency decision makers? I think that's one of the biggest things we can do. It's in the law that you don't have to pay as much if you can't. So since that's in the law, let's try to use that information. Try to talk about ways in which local stakeholders can link to community service. The United Way has a phenomenal website with access to community service information on it. So are there ways that we can get this information out to stakeholders?
But what do you do with it? Do you take it to the state legislatures? So much of what we've been talking about is county to county, municipality to municipality. Where do you take these findings?
That's a great question. you know, myself, as well as my colleagues at UMSL, I mean, we've been part of the Crime Commission. We will continue with the new mayor to talk to the mayor about that. talk with, you know, the county executive. I mean, most of this work is really done grassroots on the ground. Mm. That's where most of the change is made. But we do send our reports to local and state legislatures as well so they can understand what we're doing.
Would you say in general, given any past experience you might have had, that politicians are responsive to academicians, academics?
Sometimes. I'm always positive. I do think that there is some response. I think that some people across the board, no matter your political standpoint, see this as a tax, right? This is a cost that people have to pay. And when their constituents bring that to them, you know, there can be some response. I think that the criminal justice system has become so big that we simply cannot pay for it anymore. And so we're going to have to make some decisions unless we continue to cut things like education.
Do you get any sense that there is a receptivity to this? I'm thinking nationally now. We have an entirely different national mood today than we did last year, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Do you sense that we're ready for meaningful changes?
I don't know what's going to happen at the federal level. I mean, there was a DOJ working group on fines and fees. We'll have to see if that's – we don't know much about the Department of Justice right now, so we'll have to see. But again, I'm optimistic that there are so many different working groups in the state. And again, that's where I think the changes need to be made, that we can make some small changes in the state, show some success, show no increase in crime, and then we can have some better outcomes.
We don't. I don't want to get you in a political discussion, but we do know that the Department of Justice wants to review things like the consent decree in Ferguson, which, you know, it deals with some of the things that we're talking about here today.
Absolutely. Yeah, and things like that could make a very large change. You know, it's important for citizens to know their rights. And, you know, if we review things like that, we might have some challenges. But it's hard to know going forward since there's been just a lot of discussion, but no real action yet.
Yeah. You've talked to a lot of people, as we indicated, during your tours across the state. I'm sure that included people who have been, I'll use the word, victimized by the system. Correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What's the most impressive story you've heard from one of these people?
As far as the amount of fines and fees, I think maybe your callers would be less impressed with how much people owe. I mean, oftentimes it's just $5,000 here and there.
$5,000,
yeah. Absolutely. But the problem is, again, it's just this layering that people owe credit card debt and people owe for housing and they've been evicted. So it's usually the layering of this. I can't tell of a really extravagant story because most of these are just, you know, regular people trying to live their lives who are kind of struggling with this debt.
We'll look forward to hearing more from you, Beth Eubner, as you continue this research over the next couple of years. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. She's
with the Criminology Department at the University of Missouri, St. Louis. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.